It's Hughie, hello, and this is episode 107 of your new favourite podcast. This one I'm very, very happy with, and not just for the reasons you may think, but more on that in a quick sexual harassment minute. It is time instead for the plugs. Do not forget that if you want to see the video version of tonight's interview, then go check out Hughie Entertainment on YouTube. Shannon is very good looking. She has a great smile. She's very nice to look at. Go to Hughie Entertainment on YouTube. Or if you happen to be on YouTube and you're a fan of professional wrestling, then go check out Keeping 100 Official. That's the official channel for the fastly growing podcasts from Conan and Disco Inferno. All kinds of shit there. We have, at the time of recording, we've passed 23,000 subscribers and over 11 million views. So thank you, and let's keep it growing into 2021. If you want to interact with me on social media, I'm at the Hughie on Twitter, at the Hughie on Instagram. I particularly want you to follow me on Instagram because I have quite a low view count, and I'm so gorgeous that you really should check me out, because why not? And I have to say that any and all music clips that you may hear within this episode, if you want to buy them and you want to support those artists, then you can do from all good official music stores and streaming sites. And for my personal review, they're all 5-star brilliant, and I wouldn't use them if I didn't think they're anything less than 5 stars. So thank you for listening, and the plugs are over. Okay, on today's episode 107, we have got the gorgeous Shannon Hare. If you may not know the name, she's the host of the Thing Is podcast. She's also part of the SDR podcast, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. Hold the rock and roll. One of my hilarious jokes there. Shannon is, of course, also the producer of Real Ass Podcast and works for Gas Digital. If they want to sign me up as the next big show, I'm sure I can work out some type of a deal, some sort of $8 million a year deal. We'll see. But before we get to Shannon, and believe me, I'd love to, one of my hilarious jokes there, I am first going to get in contact with wrestling legend Raven. And I'm a pretty mature guy, as I'm sure you've thought so. So I think, you know what, let's talk some farts. Raven, hello.
All right, let's get to the bottom of these emails. This is the first one we have. It's from July 27th, from Adam Hughes, and the subject is farts.
Farts?
It's I'm glad, that,
I'm glad that we've gone from such high-level talk to fan mail about farts. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's Hughesy, hello. Thanks for the podcast plug, Raven. So, our dog farts, eh? Farts are funny. Because it's a gust of air that comes out of your anus and makes a loud noise. That's funny, but yo, Raven, are farts always funny? What about if you're a funeral and some old person farts? Jerry Seinfeld voice. Nana, what did you eat? And Andrew Dice Clay voice. At least it came out from the back and not the front. Oh! That's, and I got to go back to the Hughie voice. That's a con fart joke. Hey, everyone, it's Raven the R-Dog, and I 100% give Hughie permission to use this clip for his cold open. Plus, Chris Jericho has 2 cocks. What? It's Hughie, bye-bye. Ah, terrible letter.
Boo.
Yeah, that was awful.
Boo.
Did you write that in your sleep or something? That was, I mean, that's subpar even by your standards.
Up your game, Hughie. You represent me out there.
God, that might have been the worst letter we've ever gotten.
Unbelievable.
It's fucking awful.
You know what? I have to admit, I don't think that was my greatest appearance with Raven. I could do better. You know what? I'm going to call back in and I'm going to ask him another question. I know I'm going to ask him about my favorite game, pizza or arsehole. Raven, hello.
So this is from Adam Hughes.
Oh, no.
Subject, pizza or arsehole. Yo, R-Dog, my main man, you badass motherfucker. Sup with your bitch ass. Speaking of which, what do you think has been eaten more, pizza or Jennifer Lopez's arsehole?
Pizza.
If that comes across as sexist, then I apologize. She likely has a cunt made out of gold, too.
Oh.
Plus, I'd give her a mushroom tattoo and pig blapper in the mouth. Or a cunt. Because I'm open to options. Joe, plug, Rich, Trump 2020.
Oh, Jesus.
Now that's by far the worst letter that we've had in a while.
He cannot vote terrible in this election, Rich. Don't worry about it.
Okay, Hughie Marks, I want to talk to you now about your dicks. Do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Now listen up and listen hard, just like your dick's going to be hard. BlueChew.com, you know, blue, like the color blue. Not BLEW, which is what she's gonna do after you take this stuff. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. And these aren't just like a once in a while thing, like you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, so you can get your dick harder than F whenever the opportunity comes up. Notice I said the word comes. I gotta be honest with you. As it's coming into the winter season, I tend to go out a lot more, drink a lot more. Maybe not so much in the healthiest of mindsets. So this sort of stuff always helps. You can't go home after a couple of winter, Christmas sort of drinks and just think, right, well, that's me off the bed. Deal with it. You go, nope. I take a couple of Blue Chew, get ready for action, and bang! Everybody's happy. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's waiting office or waiting line at a pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. So, you know, you don't have to worry about awkward eye contact with a hot, sexy, sexy post-person. Notice I said person? I'm very woke. They're made in America, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're actually cheaper than pharmacies. And best of all, no more awkwardness. We don't need awkwardness and hard dicks together anymore. Well, right now, there's a very special deal for all the great listeners, then, of It's Usually Hello. If you go to BlueChew.com and you get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code HELLO, H-E-L-L-O. I actually had to look up how to spell hello there. It's not a great day, but all you're going to do is just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code HELLO to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast, It's Usually Hello. And we thank them for making our dicks hard. On with the show. Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGHEY. That's HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGHEY. And do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere. Okay, thank you, Raven. Up next is the brilliant Shannon Hare. One thing I've got to point out before we play this interview. For those that know Shannon, or don't know her, she has a very soft, gentle, nice voice. I sound like a fucking a bear with a cold, okay? So, when I recorded this, when I got the file back of the finished, well, file, the audio levels were so completely fucking off that at one point...
I only seem to speak like this, and this is how my audio sounded.
So, I am... due to the wonder of editing, which, if you're listening to John Wangland, really is not that hard, and it's something you should teach yourself to do, you fucking wanker. I've been able to not so much salvage it, if that's the wrong choice of words, but I've tried to get our voices on the same level. I think it works, and if you don't think it works, tough. You've already downloaded the podcast. You don't even need to hear the interview. If you're listening to this, I've won. But anyway, this is the great Shannon. We talk about all kinds of stuff. It gets a little edgy at parts. I've done one of my very rare censorship edits. That's right, even I think I crossed the line a few times in this. So yes, I censored myself, so that shows you how tough and brave I am. I may end up getting married to Shannon. That might cause me a little hate with a certain cunt. But there you go. I like Shannon. She's fun, she's cool, she's interesting, and you're about to hear a great interview with her. So, Shannon, hello. Welcome in onto the podcast tonight. Today we're going to talk about the joys of drinking from water bottles. We've got the absolutely brilliant and the way, way too hardworking Shannon Hare. Shannon, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You know, you may have the nicest speaking voice in all of podcasting.
Thank you. I mean, compared to yours, I think it's a little bit different. But yeah, no, I think it's a little too like soft and childlike, I think, for an audio medium.
Yeah, but the problem is my voice sounds like what a fucking lawnmower looks like. And then yours is nice and relaxing, and while other people are throwing the N-word around, you go, ah, but she's nice and she says these nice things and everybody else is fucking nuts. But that will be used today, believe me.
I can't wait.
But the first question I got for you, I've got to say, is Chip Chipperson is when I first knew you were my girl. But I want to know what it's like recording Chip Chipperson, because it's like you've got to be interesting by not being interesting. And you've got to be funny by not being funny. So how do you get into that mode? And then how do you shake it?
I don't think I have to shake it. I think I'm pretty good at not being interesting or funny. So I think it just works out perfectly on that show.
But you say some pretty interesting things. I actually had to write it down. This thing here, misophonia. But I didn't even know that was a fucking real thing until you said it. And then I came to realize I've got it too.
Yeah, a lot of people have written to me after hearing me talk about that on podcasts. And I think I'd like to take pride in that I'm spreading awareness, because more people need to know about it. What sounds really annoy you?
The sound of a mixed race couple being happy. I go, oh God, I'm sweating. Not really. That's just one of my hilarious jokes there. But the one thing I can't stand is the sound of somebody else's dog that's unhappy. And it's like, why'd you buy the fucking thing? Like, you knew it was going to be a dirty animal when you bought it. So why is it out in the garden crying? Why did everybody else in the world knew but you to fucking get it in the house?
That's fair. I think that's more because you're thinking about the reason behind it. But I think I do this also. But that's more that you're annoyed with the owner, not necessarily the noise, right?
Yeah, I also hate... I can't find one fucking pen here. Yeah, I also hate this noise.
It does get annoying, yeah.
When somebody's thinking, it's like, you want to go, you know that's not going to help? Like, all that's doing is distracting it. You're going to get a beat in your head, then you're going to think of a song. And then this job interview or this fucking police investigation, usually the second one in my case, one of my hilarious jokes there. Then it's like, so we're going to be here all day and you're going to find the drugs that I've got secretly stashed and it's going to ruin my weekend.
The clicking of the pen, that I hear a lot at the studio. I think that's something a lot of guys tend to do, the clicking of the pen.
But what sounds been getting on you lately? Because this, I love this stuff.
Chewing, like audible chewing, really is at the top of my list. I just can't tolerate it at all. And it is something that I feel like male comedians, I feel like 85% of them chew in a disgusting way. And I can't be in the room with it. And soup is just a whole other thing. When people slurp soup, but those are the sounds that really get on my nerves. Thankfully, now in the studio, that now that it's not so many people in there, so people aren't eating around each other as much. So it has been lovely.
Yeah, I hate the thing. It's funny you mentioned that with people. It's like they don't want you looking at them while they're eating, yet they chew loudly with the mouth open. It's like, well, what the fuck's going on? Oh, and by the way, this is not my real hair. This is lockdown hair. I haven't been able to get a haircut since fucking November because they keep. Yeah, because every time they open, I make an appointment and they shut it down. So if I start flirting with you, you have to ignore this part and you think, ooh, Mr. Bond.
Why don't you just order one of those like shaver thingies and just take it all off?
I'm not going okay. to. That's a silly question, Shannon. I'm not going to risk messing with my hair because I'm 36 and I'm the last guy from school that hasn't gone gray yet. So I'm winning that war. So I'm terrified of saying, hang on, will I trim this and fucking next thing you know, Steve Martin turns up.
Got it.
But I want to ask from your perspective, because of course, if anybody doesn't know Shannon, she's like a podcast host, producer, water bottle drinker, all kinds of stuff. But you're heavily involved in the New York comedy scene. You're not a stand-up yourself, but you work with so many comics. And you also work with that very shy, quiet guy, Lewis, somebody. He doesn't like us being spoken about. He's been on this war lately. Well, not just him. With this fucking, the snowflakiest snowflake since fucking Jack Frost came. Simmons or whatever his name is. From your perspective on the other side, that was a hilarious voice squeak there, by the way. I did that on purpose in case anyone's trying to call me gay.
That's a good job.
Thank you. How is it for you on your side seeing Seth Simons or whatever trying to shut everybody down?
I wish that people would just stop acknowledging him. I wish that people would stop tweeting at him, because this is not the type of person that, in my opinion, you can exchange information with in an intelligent way. He just has an opinion and just wants to get back at the people that aren't doing what he wants them to do. And so there's no convincing him otherwise. And the only way that people have continued to learn who he is by people angrily talking about him or retweeting him. And I just wish people would stop doing that. So nobody would know what he's doing and nobody would care. And eventually he'd have no choice but to continue down another failed path.
Do you think that he actually believes half the stuff that he's campaigning for?
I do. Yeah, I really do think he thinks he's doing the right thing. I think a lot of things he says, I believe he really thinks is right. Like, he's a right fighter. And so he's not like, he's just trying to be, you know, he thinks he's right and he's just trying to perpetuate that.
You know what kind of fighter I like?
What kind?
Foo Fighter. That's one of my hilarious jokes there. But this is what I don't get. Because I remember interviewing Dave Landau, and he did it, and we were talking about snowflakes and the outrage culture. And my whole thing is, I don't think that these people personally get that offended. Because like, if you walk down the streets of, where are you from? Connecticut.
No, I'm from New York. I live in Staten Island.
Central Connecticut. It's right next door to it, based on my research. And she, and we were speaking about the fact that, like, you don't walk down the street and see these people going, oh my God, I'm offended, I can't take this, what am I going to do? They see it and they go, and then they get home and they just so happen to tweet it out during lunch breaks or rush hour when people are looking at the phone, and it happens to pick up traction and all this shit. So for me, I don't buy it. Does outrage culture, and being from your side of it, do you think that it's actually made you become less offended by stuff?
I think that just working in the environment that I work in has, whatever little bit of sensitivity that I had when I started working at Gas Digital is gone now. Just because, like, you know, it's like the jokes on air also continue off air. And it's kind of like, I think it's healthier where everyone, like, if you see something, if someone's hair looks ridiculous one day or whatever, you know, they just make fun of it to your face. You know, it's not something that's hidden. It's out in the open. You're talking about it. You're joking about it. So it takes away, like, the stigma or the embarrassment, in my opinion. And so it makes everything okay, I feel like. I'd prefer to walk through the world not being scared of somebody saying the wrong thing because it's going to ruin my day.
Well, I'm afraid to say the wrong thing because if anyone sees the video version of this, a cat just appeared, which obviously means that there's one hilarious pun that you can go to, which I won't. But if you had a male donkey in there too, that would be chiptastic.
You want to be able to hold it back.
Oh, God. But see, in this day and age, jokes like that, really immature jokes that I love, do you take them as jokes, or do you sometimes feel, I feel uncomfortable with, like, sex jokes or puns like that?
I don't feel uncomfortable about it. I mean, it may, like, annoy me because it's a dumb, lazy joke, or when people, when the same joke is repeated, like if a fan thinks up a joke that's already been said on the air 10,000 times and tweets it thinking that they made up this genius thing. And I'm like, I've heard that literally 10,000 times. Like, it's just stupid now. So that's my reaction. It's like, you know, try harder, but not that I'm offended, just stupid.
Yeah. You should be like, yeah, listen, I know Joe DeRosa. I've heard that shit joke before. No offense, Joe. Yeah. You see that fucking guy. I don't know who he is. Really? I mean, I didn't know who he was until I seen Better Call Saul, and then remembered him from O&A. I'm blocked online, and it's like, for what? I don't fucking know you, ugly. But, you know, but I gotta ask you, of course, you living out there in New York, that's how it's spelled, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how it's spelled.
Of course, the lockdown has completely fucked the whole city. Our lockdown is now being extended to March. Which is fucking insane. It's like, for what? Like, there'll be aliens here by the time the fucking vaccine's cured. But at the same time, not that I'm rubbing it in to anyone who's struggling, but I feel that this has been the greatest thing that could ever happen to podcasting, because more people are listening to more shows, more people have time to record them, to create new ones. So would you say that, in your opinion, that this has been the best time ever for a podcaster?
I mean, yes and no, because if somebody's just starting out with a new show, they're having to compete with, like, the thousands of other new shows that people are creating. It also makes it, like, for the podcast listener, then they have these, you know, all these bunch of podcasts to kind of wade through, and lots of garbage out there to kind of, like, find what you like. But it has given people the time to, like, figure out how to do it, you know, how to record a podcast, and I guess make the connections they need to make it work. So I guess yes and no, split down the middle, I guess.
Well, what's been the best time of in your podcasting run? Will you go to yourself, I can't believe this is fucking happening, like, this is my job?
Meaning, like, producing or hosting?
Both.
I guess producing, there were just times when they were amazing guests that were on a show that I was working on. Like, I just posted a picture on my Instagram from 3 or 4 years ago when Gene Simmons was in studio of Kiss. So it was just like, I'm there and I'm like, this is freaking crazy. Like, who would have thought, you know, getting into this line of business that would happen? There was one day at Gas Digital where Jamie Josta, the lead singer of Hatebreed, was in studio, and DMC of Run DMC was also in studio. And we're all just kind of hanging out in the lobby talking about garbage reality television because we all like the same show. I don't remember. It was like 90 Day Fiance or something. And they're just hanging out at work with Jamie Josta and DMC just shooting the shit, which is pretty amazing.
Rank them in order of hotness.
it's difficult.
Why? Because one of them's a black guy? You're a racist and I just caught you out.
No, I think he would have to be the top of the list. I think it would be...
Because he's black?
No, he's the best looking one.
You've got jungle fever and you're fetishizing black men, and I'm going to tax Seth Simons or whatever his name is.
Please do. Yeah, I think it would be DMC, Josta, and then Gene Simmons.
Yeah, Gene Simmons is one of those guys who, I don't know if he's a religious, but he really should say every night, thank God for face paint. Because he's an ugly bastard. I love Kiss, but fuck me, like, he looks like a shit.
I was going to say just thank God for the concept of fame. Because regardless of what you look like, once you are famous, it doesn't matter anymore. Girls are going to want to fuck you.
I hope I get famous. Only joking. I've already got AIDS. I'll edit that part out. But the thing is with podcasting is, like, a couple of years ago, about a year or two ago, I interviewed Anthony Cumia. And it was very strange because back then I didn't even have a fucking headset. I just spoke directly into the onboard mic. And I don't know why he said yes. Like, I must have just caught him and he was, you know, in a good mood, and he said, and the children had left, and then he just said that he'd do it. And right before the interview, I got severely sick to the point that I almost passed out, but I still went ahead with the interview. And you're sitting there thinking, this is one of my favorite radio fucking guys ever, and I'm talking to him, you know, and we're goofing, and I'm doing Norm MacDonald, and he's doing Dice, and we're prank calling people, and just think, what the fuck's going on? This is brilliant. And I just wish that it paid, you know, $7 million a year instead of the $5 million that I am making. Mm-hmm. You know.
That's pretty great.
Thank you. But do you think that there's too many podcasts? Well, we kind of broached that. But, like, because you get some, like, Louis J. Gomez, who I like, has, like, about 9 shows himself, which I personally don't get because this – one that I do, which you're a huge fan of. People don't know. Shannon begged me in DM. She says, "Oh, please, please, can I come on? I promise not to drop the N-word." So if you don't hear any N-words, it's because I edited them out. And she says, "Oh, please, can I come on? I love when you do the music debates." And I'm like, "Shannon, would you stop asking?" And then I let her on. But this goes from, like, a musical debate to an interview with someone like you. And just before this recording, I interviewed a lady called Francine, who used to be in wrestling in the 90s. So it's just a variety. So, but the 40-minute long question I'm asking is, do you think that there are too many shows?
Yes, kind of, because there is a lot of crap. But when I say crap, I guess that's my personal opinion and stuff that I would choose not to listen to. But I think, I mean, everybody has the right, if this is how they really want to, like, be creative and you know, put out whatever information that they want to put out, that's fine. I mean, everybody should have the ability to do that. I don't know. I think there's too many, but why not? Why, everybody deserves a chance to, like, see if they can get good at it and give it a shot.
Yeah, but that's one of the things that I always think, that the problem with podcasting is too many people assume that it's going to be immediately a hit.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought for a second. But the people that are doing it for the purpose of getting fame or getting rich, those are the people that need to stop doing it. Because, like, I've had people DM me and ask me questions about, you know, podcasting and stuff, and say, how long does it take to make this amount of money, or how long does it take for this? And I'm like, that's not, you can't do it for that. like if your podcast like sucks and whatever, but you're doing it because that's what you love to do and you really enjoy it, then I'm all for it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right, because I remember it was it had to have been like 6-7 months before, and I was doing one every week before I even got a sponsor. And then when I did get a sponsor, they paid me, it was like $87. And even at that, you're like, fair enough, I'll buy some drugs. but I do think that that's one of the problems with, there's so many failed shows out there, because people will start one that's not a hit by episode 4. So then they quit, then they try to come back. And you just think, it's like going to the fucking gym. If you want to get in shape, it's going to take a while. It's taken me fucking 10 years. Mm-hmm. But speaking of drugs, what are you into?
I'm not really a drug taker. I don't smoke weed. Yeah, I'm boring. I drink.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not fun.
Have you ever been into drugs?
Not really, no. I mean, I really want to like weed, because every single person I work with, everybody I know is a weed smoker, and they seem to be having a great time with it, but it just doesn't work that way with me. I tried Molly at work on air, because on the SDR show, we try one new drug a year, and so I tried Molly. That was okay, I guess, but that was, yeah, I'm scared, because I'm scaredy pants.
But that's something I've got to ask you about. I was just watching the latest episode of The Thing Is, and it had that Cobra Kai guy on. And by the way, I'm full on Cobra Kai. So if you talk shit about it, you're out of here and you're cancelled, okay?
I love it.
But you mentioned in this, maybe you don't want to talk about it with me because it's your life, that you haven't done any fugging in a while.
Does that mean fucking?
Yeah. I didn't want to do any of that foul New York talk. But the question is, see, I don't get that, because like, surely you must get hit on all the fucking time.
Right now, I don't really. I mean, my life is like leaving my house, walking to the bus, taking the bus to work, coming back home, finishing work. Like my life is work. And the people that I meet at work are comedians, which is like a certain kind of person. And that's it. My life is right, either like right here or at the studio. So I don't meet that many people right now. And now with like whatever's locked down, what's not, and it's cold out, like it's not really easy to meet new people. And in March, it'll be 3 years since I've had intimate relations with a human being.
but that's baffling to me, because like I'm not trying to be a creep, but like, you're a good looking woman.
Thank you.
Yet there's fat dogs like Amy Schumer are married with a kid or two, or it looks like it. And you just think, how could anybody look at that thing and think, oh God, you know what I'd like to do? Touch her with my erect, sexually enticed penis because of her looks. She looks like a fucking wrestler.
She's so successful, though. She's funny.
No, she's not. She's successful, I'll give you that. I've had funnier fucking hamstring tears.
I don't know. I mean, I guess there's someone for everyone. I wouldn't put her in that category. I feel like that's what you say for like gross people, someone for everyone. I don't think she's gross. She was in nice shape at one point. Now she just had a baby, so you have to like give her that. I'm just trying to like defend a woman.
But a baby what? A baby helicopter?
Oh, God. Well, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, I hit my cat. I don't know. I don't know how people do it. I'm not a very confident person. That probably has something to do with it. I think guys want like a confident woman. That could have something to do with it. I have crazy tendencies. There's plenty of things wrong with me that I think make it easy for me to be single forever.
But is it all by choice?
Some of it is by choice. I mean, any guys that like I've tried to like, you know, date or whatever over the past few years, I fell out of interest with them. But I just haven't met somebody that I want to really pursue in a long time.
Until now.
Until now.
Yeah. That counts, by the way, by law. So if you don't do it, I'm taking you to court and I'm having you cancelled. But the thing is that when I was watching the episode and I was saying to myself, he should fucking say this, but dude, would you agree that there's this thing that when you meet somebody, like at a party or a bar or whatever, that there's literally a ticking clock of like deciding, of like, oh, I've just met Adam, and he's a very nice, gorgeous, handsome guy. And oh, nope, friend zone.
So I'm a little different, where I can like hop in and out of that zone until like a certain point. So like I can like meet somebody and not be attracted to them at all. Like one of my ex-boyfriends, who I've actually had on my show before, when I first met him, I hated him because a friend of mine tried to hook us up, and I was like, I hate him.
Because he was black?
No, he was not black.
Okay, because if you said anything racist, I would have you canceled.
My friends were going to try to set me up with the black guy.
Just, ooh!
Just kidding.
Seth Simons, I'm tagging you.
But yeah, so I cannot like someone immediately or like them immediately, and then a few days later, I hate them. So I kind of like jump in and out of that zone until they do something that really pisses me off or I fall in love. Then it just stays there forever.
But have you ever done the thing where you get into a relationship and then it's like you've been dating for like 8-7 months and then you start noticing little things where you go, like they say yo a lot.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, what are you fucking, what are you, one of those hip hop artists?
Yeah, but that happens usually earlier on, like in the first like couple of months is when I'll like zoom in on the annoying things that they do. And then I'll just be out. Like it'll happen earlier on, because if I make it that long, like around like a year mark or something, I feel like then you know if you're going to fall in love with the person or not. If not, then it's time to move on. And if I'm in love with them, then the annoying things I can kind of look past.
What annoying things about me have you noticed since this conversation?
I don't think any.
I'm totally getting some. Remind me to edit this part out so she can't hear it, because it's going and it's happening and will happen. Sorry, Shannon, I had someone at the door. It was a police officer.
Do you know that I'm here, though, and editing it out isn't going to stop me from just watching you do that?
Gotcha. That's one of my hilarious jokes, though. I'm a very, very funny guy, and completely on drugs, so I've got to admit to that, too. But I got to ask you a question. Of all the podcasts you've produced / hosted, like with Real Ass Podcasts and stuff like that, what's it like for you as a producer or a host when you can tell, just, oh, fuck, this interview's going bad, this guest is terrible?
It depends on the show, because on Real Ass Podcast, when there's a bad guest, it's kind of like the fans also understand that and can kind of laugh at it because it's so bad. On other shows that are more interview based, I don't know, you just have to kind of ride it out and like cringe the whole time. It just depends on the show. But there are some times like the SDR show, just like a straight interview type show, where if the guest doesn't want to like play ball with the interview, it's not going to be great. I don't know if you saw the Sebastian Bach thing with the SDR show.
I did. And I have a theory on that. Okay. I think, you know, the way a lot of these famous people, a scandal is already out there before the public finds out about it. Mm-hmm. I think, because I remember seeing this picture of him and he's wearing a t-shirt. I think it might have been a Christmas sweater that said AIDS kills fags, mm-hmm. which is fucking hilarious and factual. And I think he was maybe warned by management about them, you know, just keep your nose clean for a couple of months and that t-shirt isn't going to resurface. Next thing you know, you get, what's the guy, Big J, mm-hmm. and he's talking about swallowing cum or gurgling cum, which I don't think is actually possible. We'll find out when I come to New York. But I think that's what made him shit himself. So I think that's more to the fake outrage shit that we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. We've discussed this so much after that happened. And I think maybe he is just so super sensitized to all that stuff after everything that he's gone through since that situation, since wearing that t-shirt and having to get all the heat from it, that now maybe he's just super woke and like really just tries to avoid getting himself into that situation again.
But see, the thing about that annoys me, it's that despite the kind of jokes I make, I would say that I'm pretty liberal. And that, like, my brother's black, and he's apologized many times for it, and I accepted most of them from a distance. But the problem is that you don't need to be a fucking right wing Nazi fucking cross burning lunatic to be able to tell a joke about a gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's why I think that the overreaction to the offense is fucking stupid. Like, the best joke I've ever heard is a racist joke. And it's not because I'm like, black people. It's like that's a funny joke. I'm not going to tell you.
Are you also not going to tell me why the name of the podcast is what it is?
I would tell you, but it's so boring that if I tell you, it'll ruin your day. And you'll think, why did I let... So I like to not tell you. Because... by not telling you the truth, it makes it seem more interesting, because the truth is fucking awful. Worse than the Amy Schumer upskirt shot.
But back to what you were saying about the overcorrection and how and Sebastian Bach's response to that and going too far in the other direction. I just think in our society today, though, that's kind of what you need to do, because people do jump all over that kind of thing, which he's really just contributing to by reacting in that way. But I feel kind of protected being part of the network that I work for, because people just kind of know what to expect from us. But outside of like Compound Media and Gas Digital, if you say anything crazy anywhere else, you're going to get it.
Yeah. But that's one of the things is that, one of my other podcasting jobs is I run the YouTube channel for these wrestler guys. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, can I have one of the free merch? It's like, no, you cannot, but maybe I'll, we can work out some type of a deal. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. And they say some pretty wild shit, and they go off into these political discussions and, you know, edgy jokes and all that sort of stuff, which then everybody involved gets the heat for it. Mm-hmm. And you just think you need to calm down, everybody. Like, it's a wonderful world, and we're living in the best time ever. Nobody's having a better time than us during these glory days.
Is it, do you, so you live in Scotland?
Oh my God.
Sorry. I know I'm a big fan. I forget these little details.
Ireland.
Oh, so it's not, I could swear you said Scottish at some point.
I said I absolutely hate Scottish people.
Oh,
maybe that's it.
Yes, I'm from Belfast, Ireland, and I'm still going to go out with you, but you're paying.
I'm very sorry. So in Ireland, is the culture as sensitive as you think it is here in the United States?
You know what's so pathetic? And it's that the UK is obsessed with copying America. Like, there was a Trump rally in the UK. Yeah, there was a Trump rally here. And you think, why? It doesn't affect... if America blew up tomorrow, it doesn't affect us. Mm-hmm. So what do you give a fuck for? And I had this big problem of... let me reword that. I had an issue with the Black Lives Matter protests over here. Because... first of all, over in Belfast, which is in Ireland.
Don't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, we've only got one of them, and he's a good worker. But over here over the last few years, there's been these really violent attacks on these Asian families. Like, really brutal, horrific stuff. Like, a guy got his legs broken outside of his restaurant, and this other Asian family had their house broken into and was at gunpoint told to get out of the country and stuff. Like, really fucking horrible stuff that's only kind of funny. And there was no Asian Lives Matters protests or any sort of political thing. Oh, we've got to stop these hate crimes. But because a black guy in America got into this thing, it's like, oh, fuck the virus. And even though it's at an all-time peak, let's go protest and march the streets. And you just think, it's like, no, you're not protesting. You have to worry about what affects you, not fucking America. While it's horrible what happened, you need to fucking wise up.
That's fair. I mean, it's, I understand like the show of solidarity, but also you have a very different set of problems to be focusing on. I get it.
Yeah, and plus, I'm sure you've heard of in Belfast, it's not exactly like fucking Disneyland. Like there's kind of been a bit of a feud going on for about, I don't know, like 70 years. Mm-hmm. So I just think for them to now think this is the issue to fucking protest on, you think, flip you. Go take a hike and flip yourself. Sorry about that outburst. Is that going to ruin the date?
No, it's all right. I can look past it.
Oh, thank fuck. You say look at pasta?
Yeah, look past it.
Oh, good, because I love pasta. but I got to ask you, of course, you talk about living in New York under that fucking Cuomo guy. From the outside, it's honestly like watching something like, well, I was going to say Escape from New York, funnily enough, but he seems like the dumbest hypocritical fucking psycho ever. So from an actual New Yorker, how is it living under this shithead?
I mean, it's been pretty terrible, especially, you know, I mean, the only time we've really like felt his and de Blasio's like management is during the quarantine. And it's like with Trump, for example, whatever your opinion, if you go across the United States, you'll find people for him and people against him. I don't know a single person that is for Cuomo or de Blasio after the pandemic. There's nobody that's on their side. Not that I've come across, at least. So yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah. My whole problem is it seems with the American politicians, they'll like, what do you call that dumb bitch, the fucking older lady. She's always feuding with Trump.
Is it Pelosi?
Yes. Where she's getting her hair cut the day after everybody, everything's shut down and not following the rules. And you just think that if they would at least follow their own rules, mm-hmm. I think people would be okay with it at times. But they don't, and they do everything they tell us not to do. And I just think that that's why the big war's coming, and the Nazis will rise again. I mean, I'll edit that part out.
But
it's getting close. I mean, with everything that happened, was it yesterday with the rushing of the Capitol? It's people are losing their minds. We're getting there.
Yeah, but that's the thing that's so nuts is that, like, my whole thing is my hobby is I love to go to the cinema. And then I love to go to the pub. I haven't been able to do either of that in nearly a year. And it's like, and you run out of stuff to do. So it's like, do you want to go burn down a building? It's like, well, yes, I do. Can we stop for some snacks? It's like, no snacks. I'm on a diet.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
there is nothing to do. I do miss going to a bar.
Oh, God. I had a...
Bumming me out.
Yeah. I had a beer just before Christmas in a bar, and I could only, because I was in a rush, and it just felt like home. You'd be like, and I need that, but I'm gonna get so fucked up as soon as bars are open again. Like, it's on. But the thing that drove me nuts is the reason why I bring up the New York thing is, as I mentioned before, I've interviewed Dave Landau 3 times, I think. And not that we're like best friends, but we've stayed in contact. And Aaron Berg, I've interviewed a few times, and we've sort of stayed, not like every day, but every couple of months, like, oh, fucking Baldy or whatever. But he did a thing where Dave had said to me that I could come to Compound Media to see the show and not appear on it, but to see it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's going to be fucking amazing. I get to do all the New York stuff. I'll get to go to New York. I get to meet Anthony Cumia, which would be great. Get to have a drink with Gino. get to have sex with Karen Freehan. That's the rules apparently these days, isn't it?
It could be.
Ooh,
again.
Well, that's weird because she seems like such a delight to be around.
She is a delight to be around, and I have to defend her because she just baked me vegan cookies the other day, and they were delicious. So I really appreciate her.
I'm not even going to get into that, okay? But I'm quite triggered. But yeah, so it was just, I had all this stuff planned, and now me and you are going out with each other, and you're going to DM me nude photos if you want, I'm just saying. But all this shit planned, and it's like, will it ever come back? Is it going to be the same? In fact, no, it's not, because fucking Anthony's leaving.
Oh, that's right. You better hurry up. Colin Terrell just went back and forth between Ireland and the United States. Can't you still do it?
Not with these, not with my opinions, if you know what I mean. I'll...
Different than Colin's? I don't think so.
He's from here?
Yeah, I don't know what part of Ireland, but he is from Ireland. I don't know what part.
I'm going to block him. But of course, we mentioned the great Anthony Cumia, or as I call him, and get ready to laugh your head off for about half an hour. The Ant-Man. Get it? If anyone's listening, I had to cut out about 25 minutes of continuous laughter. Shannon had to go for a piss and stuff. It was absolutely slated with my hilarious joke. But I've got to ask you about Anthony Cumia, because like, I love the guy. But he has some seriously intense critics. And it doesn't matter what he does, it doesn't matter what he says, people just want to fuck with him. Mm-hmm. To the point where, I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary things that were made about him, where somebody actually filmed his house.
Oh, wow.
And they just think like, ooh, that's like, I'm okay for busting beans, but not actually fucking invading privacy. Don't be using that busting beans line, by the way. but talk to me, what's it like that if you do a show with Anthony or he comes on your show, dealing with the, I guess you could call it the hate that comes with it. We're saying hate a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't care. I like Anthony. Anthony's been on my show. I've done his show. We both done Chip together. I don't care. You know, I have no problem with him. There are very few people that come into the studio that I have an issue with. There's not anybody I can think of off the top of my mind, but, yeah, it's whatever. I mean, like, I think Legion of Skanks gets the most hate from people not liking what they're doing because of their controversial guests. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't care. I don't really pay attention to it.
Yeah, my old thing about Anthony, it's like, if you don't get by now that he's joking and that he's only 70% means the stuff that he says, you know?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't understand. But also the fact that he's behind a paywall.
Yeah.
Yet all these offended people are still fucking at him. It's like, you're making him richer.
Yeah. That's what I just don't understand. Like, the piling on to things that you hate. Like, why put all of that energy into it if you just ignore it? You don't have to ever deal with it. Like, it's not, I just don't understand it.
Well, speaking of crazy men, I have to ask you about Luis J. Gomez. I've spoken to many people about him in the past, and I always describe him as the real life version of who Vin Diesel plays in The Fast and the Furious.
I love who Vin Diesel plays in The Fast and the Furious. Then, so I wouldn't compare him to that.
Then you love Luis J. Gomez. But I gotta ask you, what's it like working with him? Because, like, I am a huge fan of him, but he seems like he's fucking a mental case. But at the same time, it's mixed in with a lot of intelligence.
Yeah.
So for you, what's it like knowing that this lunatic is right behind a glass window all the time?
Well, I've been working with him now for almost 5 years. And so I think that I have gotten a handle on how to interact with him like the best way possible, like how to like to not make him crazy about something. And it's just like once you figure out how to work with someone, it makes it a lot easier. Like, I know what to expect from him, and we're also like friends, you know, like he is my boss, but like we're also friends. Like, we talk not just about work, so it makes it a much more comfortable experience. Like, there are manic times. There are times when he goes a little bit crazy about something. I think it's pretty much what you would expect it to be to work for him. But he's not always that, like, crazy monster. Like, he's a good person deep down. He's very funny. And it makes it way easier to work for somebody like that.
Do you think that Lewis may be, and this is not an insult, but do you think that he may be a little bit too edgy to ever go mainstream?
Oh, yeah. Not too edgy in general, because, like, that's his thing and people love him for that. But to go mainstream, yeah, I don't even think he would want to, because he would have to not be true to himself to do that. And I don't think he'd be happy, you know, changing who he is to, like, fit into somebody else's narrative. So, yeah, I don't think he'd ever want to go in that direction. He'll just, like, continue to grow his own thing to where he wants it to be.
I knew Lewis was my kind of guy where I just randomly watched a Legion of Skanks. I'd never heard of them before because Akumi was on this episode. And Lewis opens the show with, he goes, "Hey, what's up, you snig ethic?" And I thought, he seems nice, you know. But when you first met him, did the party think, "I need to keep a fucking gun on me"? Or,
well, I was like most employees at Gas Digital, like, I was a fan first. So I learned who Lewis was from Bobby Kelly's podcast, You Know What, Dude. And from then is where I was introduced to Legion of Skanks. And then I had actually gone to some live recordings back in the day when I was at the stand the first time around, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And then that's when I met Jay and Dave and Lewis, just like in passing. So, like, I kind of knew them a little bit first before I went to go and work for him. So I knew what I was getting myself into.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Bob Kelly. We were talking about how when an interview it goes wrong, I interviewed him before his breakfast, and I got a hungry Bob Kelly, and he was not in the mood.
Is that real? Is that real? Did that really happen?
Yeah, he was fucking like, if it was in person, I think he might have attacked me for real. Like, he just wasn't having it, and for some reason, believe it or not, he found me quite annoying. I can't imagine how. Maybe it was too overbearing. But basically, don't speak to him before his first section of breakfast.
I think there's a lot of people that are like that. I would advise to never interview Lewis while he's hungry. I think there's a lot. I don't think it's just Bobby. I think there's a lot of them. Lewis, there was one time he was going to be on my podcast when we were recording in studio, and he left to go and eat when we were supposed to have started the show, and we started half an hour late, and I'm like, it's okay. I'd rather it not be a hungry Lewis. You take your time.
Yeah, I remember he was on the Chrissy Mayer show. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it was, the strain that he smoked that day. But she asked four questions. Mm-hmm. And what a dickhead. And she asked four questions, and the interview was about an hour and 20 minutes long.
That's good. Yeah, he's an easy interview. He'll talk.
Oh, no, he was fucked up, but that's what I fancy about him. I mean, like, about him. I'm not gay.
No, he's easy because he will just, like, take over a show. So he could be like, you take the reins.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day I'll get to hug him in person on our third date. But I got to ask this as we come up to the final question here. What any sort of behind the scenes news on what's the future for Gas Digital?
I mean, I can't really give specifics, but new shows will definitely be joining in 2021. I think, like, you'll see production quality. As of right now, we are now streaming in 1080p instead of 720. So it's like little changes. Things are improving overall, like the network, the website, the talent. It's all just getting better.
What happened to the Andrew Dice Clay show?
So from my understanding, he came on to do one season, and so he did the season, and then he, like, kind of moved on. But he left amicably. Like, everyone is still, you know, in contact and have a good relationship with him. But he did the one season and then wanted to do other things.
He's another one where I've been supposed to interview him at least three times, and then he cancels at the last minute. And I think that he now does it on purpose just to be a dick, because it happens too often. But I tell you who's not a dick, Shannon, it's you. And I think your voice is so fucking addictive to listen to. I think you've got a great smile. You've got lovely eyes. And you can sue me all you want for sexual harassment. I know people, and I'll have you killed. But before we have you shot to death for messing with me, is there anything you'd like to plug for these absolute shitheads listening to this awesome podcast called It's Usually Hello, and I'll Never Tell You Why?
I'm going to find out one day. I'm going to find out from someone. you can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is, Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. And most of the people we've talked about today have been on the show. Anthony Cumia, Dave Landau, Luis J. Gomez. Not Andrew Dice Clay, though.
Maybe one day. And that's on YouTube, of course. So you get to see Shannon. If you don't know what Shannon looks like, go to The Thing Is. You can enjoy her. You'd see how she's licking her lips at me and checking out what I've got on. But that she's a nice lady. Shannon, this is great to talk to you and interview you. Hopefully this China virus will be gone soon, okay? So I can come over there and we'll do a bit of coke together, okay? So, lads?
If you would have talked like that the whole time, I would have understood you way better.
Well, let's start again. Okay. You interview me and I'll ask me any question and I'll answer it like that.
Okay. I'll pretend like it's my show. Tell me about your worst date experience.
Worst date experience. She was this girl from, let's just say, Long Island. And she had a cat shoulder. Very terrible. She treated me terribly. For a joke, I grabbed her ass in front of the waiter and she called me a pig. So I had her killed and cancelled. So I met up with my friend Seth Simons and we did a lot of coke.
That's great.
There you go. I really do hope to meet you at some point. I want to come to New York. None of you lot are invited over here. It's not going to fly with me. But stay safe and speak to you again down the line.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. It's fun.
Okay. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, everyone, for listening and downloading. Hopefully the wait until episode 108 shall not be too long. There's a few people in the works there, bro. I don't want to drop any hints or say names in case it doesn't happen. But, bro, something's coming up there, bro. So get ready, bro. Thank you for listening, and it's Usually. Bye-bye.